It's a magnificent crowd, and the game has so far produced some fireworks. Eddie Robinson is the first batter for Cleveland, and the first pitch is a swing and a miss as Potter threw him a hook. One strike. As you guessed, Hank was my authority for that 83,000 estimate. I simply wanted you to hear a confirmation from his own lips. Potter gets set, fires one, outside, and the count is 1-1. One ball, one strike. Mel Allen has just come back in after counting the house. Here's the pitch. Inside, and the count is 2-1. I suspect, Mel, that the crowd is just as excited as the noise would indicate.
Tremendously so, Jim. They still expect to see plenty of fireworks more before this football game is over.
Two balls, one strike to count. And there is ball three, low inside. Bob Keeley, the batting practice catcher of the Boston Braves, is taking off his jacket in anticipation of a possible warm-up sign from Billy Southworth. The count is 3-1. The score is 3-1 in favor of the Braves. Potter pitches. Swing and a miss. He fired a fast curveball that broke down low, and the count is 3-2. Three balls, two strikes the count. Here it comes. There goes a fly ball to center field. Mike McCormick under it. Takes it. Easy chance. That is one man out, and that chops Eddie Robinson down to four hits in 13 trips. Here's Jim Hegan. Jim has two hits in 11 trips. You understand, of course, that with very few exceptions, notably Larry Doby and Earl Torgerson, very few of these players have been hitting up to their usual form, but Hegan's defensive play has been magnificent back of the plate. He's a big right-hander, and the first pitch is outside for ball one. One ball, no strikes. Here it comes. High, ball two. 2-0. In the event you just joined our broadcast network, two balls, no strikes. The outfield is set to the left. There's a ground ball that goes down the third baseline. Elliott has it. The throw, in time. And Hegan goes out, third to first. Bob Feller has just been announced. Two men out and Bob Feller up. Feller has no hits in two trips. Ball one outside. Potter threw a curveball. And now the sun has come out very brightly, and it is beginning to resemble a perfect day. There goes the ground ball to shortstop. A quick throw, and Feller goes out, dark to first. So there's a 1-2-3 inning for the Cleveland Indians. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. And at the end of two innings of play, the score is 3-1 in favor of Boston. Now we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is WOR, New York, the Mutual station that brings you the World Series and other top sports events the year round.
Going into the first half of the third inning, the Boston Braves will send up Dark, Torgerson, and Elliott. Incidentally, I'm grateful for the information from a listener that Larry Doby lives in Patterson, New Jersey. The Cleveland Baseball Club officially lists his residence as Norwalk, Ohio. And, of course, you Patterson, New Jersey listeners remember that Jameson, who played in the Great World Series of 1920 between Cleveland and the Brooklyn Dodgers, also hails from there. As a matter of fact, you can't blame any community for claiming a World Series participant. I remember a couple of years ago, through a typographical error, Al Shaendienst of the Cardinals was listed as hailing from Germantown, Pennsylvania, and all of Germantown, Illinois was righteously up in arms. Al Dark is the batter. He beat out a slow roller to third baseman Ken Keltner his first time. He has 3 hits in 17 trips now. He's a right-handed batter. Feller pitches to him. And there's a slow roller to third base. Keltner gets it. Fires to first. Out. That's 1 hit and 2 trips for Dark. And Earl Torgerson comes up. Torgerson has a batting average of .400 for the series. He's a tall, husky left-hander who originally came from Earl Averill's hometown of Snohomish, Washington. He lined out to right fielder Walt Judnick his first time at bat. Feller seems to have settled down. He pitches. Strike called. Fast curveball. Boudreau hollered, look out, and Keltner came in, figuring that a bunt might be pushed down the third base line. Torgerson, incidentally, is a student of base running and drag bunting. He worked hard on both during spring training. One strike. Feller pitches. There's a ground ball that goes to Robinson. He scoops it up, bobbles it, and steps on first. Nice play. He juggled the ball and never did stop running. It hit his glove, popped into the air. He grabbed it barehandedly as he raced Torgerson to the bag and beat him easily. 2 men out, and Bob Elliott, who is the hero of this game so far, steps into the batter's box. He got his 3rd hit his last time up. He has a series batting average of .200, but he has driven in 4 runs. He's the top run producer, and that home run smash of his was a wicket belt that went to right field. Feller winds up. Inside, curveball. Ball 1. The outfield is set to the left. Billy Southworth coaching at third base and the first base coach, as was the case earlier, is Johnny Cooney. The infield is a little to the left. Keltner is deep at third base. Feller delivers. Strike called. That was a curveball that caught the outside corner, and the count is 1-1. It takes George Barr about 3 seconds to say strike. He drones it out, making the gesture as he does so. 1-1. Elliott uses a closed stance, pulls the ball. The pitch. There goes a drive to left field, and it is gone. A home run. 4-1. The Braves lead 4-1 as Bob Elliott lined a home run just inside the 320-foot mark deep into the lower stands. He's now driven in 5 runs in the series and all 4 Braves runs in this game. They call him Mr. Team, the Braves players. 1 to right field and 1 to left field. Rickard is the batter. Foul strike. Strike 1. That's baseball. Yesterday, Elliott came up 3 times, twice with men on second, once with a runner on first, and he couldn't buy a base hit. Today, he's hit 2 tremendous home runs and has driven in all 4 Boston runs to send the Braves 4-1 ahead. 2 men out, the pitch. Rickard hits a ground ball that goes to Eddie Robinson. Robinson flips to Feller. Feller takes it, steps on the bag easily for the out. 3-1, first base to pitcher. 1 run for the Braves. On 1 hit, no errors, none left. And the Braves lead at the end of 2.5 innings. The score is Boston 4, Cleveland 1. In the words of Hank Greenberg, the modern Gillette dispenser is a whale of a convenience, as you probably heard him say earlier. Men, you just push with your thumb and zip, there's a blade unwrapped ready for use. You save time, save bother. Change blades quick as a wink with any Gillette razor. It puts 20 Gillette blue blades, 40 superb shaving edges right at your fingertips. Also, it protects them perfectly at all times. The edges don't even touch the dispenser when blades are being ejected. Yes, and listen to this. You pay no premium, only 98 cents, regular price of the blades alone. Enjoy extra shaving convenience at no extra cost. Buy a Gillette dispenser. Look sharp. Feel sharp. Be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. Well, Cleveland now will have its second look at Nelson Potter. The team has batted around, and Dale Mitchell, who homered in the first, is up. He's a left-hander, and the first pitch is low, ball one. Mitchell has 3 hits and 17 trips. His home run was to right center field. Strike called, fastball, and the count is 1-1. Mitchell's home run was at the 380-foot mark. Elliott's was over the 365-foot mark the first time, and the 320 and left the second. Here's the pitch. There's a drive to left field, and it is taken as Rickard falls. It was a nice catch by Rickard. He misjudged the ball a bit. It was a hard, sinking line drive. And as he tried for a shoestring, not a running shoestring, he dropped to both knees, fell forward on his face, but the third base umpire, Bill Grieve, went out and ruled that it was an out. One man out, and Larry Doby comes up. He has 5 out of 15 in the series. A left-hander, ball one outside. One ball, no strikes. Strike call, curveball, 1-1. There's a ground ball down the first baseline. Torgerson scoops it up, flips, and Potter gets him. Doby was sprinting as hard as he could go down the first baseline. Torgerson made the play about 30 feet beyond first base and flipped it to Potter, who took it on the dead run just in front of Doby. That play, if you're scoring it, is 3-1. First baseman to pitcher, Torgerson to Potter. There are two men out, and Lou Boudreau, the Cleveland manager, comes up. He has 4 out of 16 for a 250 mark. He lined a single off Potter's gloved hand his last time at bat. Potter now has retired 7 consecutive Indians, and the Braves lead 4-1. He delivers. Strike called, curveball outside. Boudreau was in no position to swing then. He apparently had made up his mind to take the first one and was holding his bat loosely. The windup. Outside. Fastball, and the count is 1-1. Potter's favorite pitch is the screwball. Satchel Paige is warming up for Cleveland. 1-1 the count. That one knocked Boudreau down. An inside pitch for ball two, 2-1. The outfield is set to the left. There are 2 Clevelanders out in the third inning. Here's the windup. There's a ground ball to third base. One hop. Elliott throws over to first base, and Boudreau is out on Torgerson's stretch to retire the side. Third to first. And Potter has retired 8 straight Indians. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. And the totals at the end of 3 innings of play. Boston, 4 runs, 4 hits. Cleveland, 1 run, 2 hits, 1 error. The Indians have left 2 men on base, and the Braves have left only 1. Everywhere you look, or nearly everywhere you look, it would seem, here at Cleveland, there are wandering troubadours, musicians whose responsibility is to keep the crowd entertained while the warm-ups are going on in between innings. Feller is out on the mound, and I note that Satchel Paige is still warming up out in the right field bullpen. First up for the Boston Braves in the fourth inning will be catcher Bill Salkeld of Los Angeles, who has 1 hit and 4 trips. Southworth and Cooney are doing the coaching. And while it's far too early to speculate, since this is only the first half of the fourth inning of a game that has equaled the previous run total of 5, you may be interested in recalling what Billy Southworth told the press before the game. He gave them tomorrow's pitching nominee, which reflected confidence. Salkeld fly to center field his first time. The outfield is set to the right. Feller winds up. Here it comes. A fastball low. Ball one. A magnificent crowd is watching this fifth game of the 1948 World Series. Feller takes a big windup. He strides, pitches, inside, curveball. Two balls, no strikes. Around Cleveland Municipal Stadium, there is quite a wide running track. Satchel Paige is still warming up for Cleveland. The disposition of the outfield is to the right. The right side of the infield is deep. Salkeld is a pull hitter. He has had just one hit in this series. Here it comes. Strike called. Feller threw a fastball, and the count is 2-1. A little while ago, although you couldn't hear him deliver the information, Hank Greenberg told me that Feller has abandoned his slider and is concentrating on fastballs, curveballs, changeups. He's getting a sign from Jim Hegan. Hegan is catching in a crouch. The windup. Strike called. Curveball that caught the inside corner. He slowed up just a little. It was not a slow curveball, but it was a changeup. And the count is 2-2. He reduced the speed of the pitch slightly, threw it over the inside corner, and Salkeld let it ride. Salkeld, McCormick, and Stanky will bat in this frame. Here's the pitch. There goes a high fly ball to short right field. Gordon back under it, calling for it. He takes it. That ball stayed up a while. Gordon, incidentally, has been all over the second base territory. And occasionally, once at least, he made a catch out in left field, left center field. Mike McCormick, the batter. Mike has four hits in 15 times at bat. He reached on an error by Ken Keltner in the second inning, but then Feller bore down to retire Stanky, Potter, and Holmes. The Braves lead 4-1. Elliott's driven in all the runs with two home runs. Strike called. Feller fired a fast curveball that caught the outside corner. He has a couple of different curveballs, and one of them has a tremendous break. They call that Feller's big curveball. He winds up, pitches. There's a drive to right field. A sinker right to Judnick. Walt was perfectly positioned. Mike McCormick lines out to right field. That was a ball that was similar to the one hit by Torgerson in the first inning. Both well hit, but they held up long enough for Judnick to make the catch. Eddie Stanky, the batter. Stanky has three hits in 11 trips. His failure to hit when he flied out in the second inning dropped him just below the 300 mark. The outfield a little to the right. The pitch. Outside, ball one. Tommy Holmes is coming out into the on-deck circle. The Braves don't have very many occupants of the bullpen today. There are only three of the Braves out there. Here's the windup. Fastball, low inside, 2-0. And Satchel Paige continues to warm up. He has more deliveries than any pitcher I've ever seen. He throws the ball in just about every possible way, except left-handed. Here's the pitch. Ball three outside. 3-0. Eddie Stanky wears a protective batting cap. And the bat boy, Greek Chronopoulos of the Boston Braves, has just brought his regular baseball cap out so that if he does get on base, he'll probably switch. 3-0. Here it comes. Strike called. Fastball, and the count is 3-1 on Stanky. There are two men out in the fourth inning. Mr. Elliott has been public enemy number one today as far as Rapid Robert Feller is concerned. He's driven in four runs, five in the series. Here it comes. Ball four. That is the first base on balls given up by Bob Feller. Nels Potter is coming out. He gets a bat. Stanky didn't bother to take his protective cap. He waved the bat boy away, and the young man is going back to the dugout with it. Potter struck out his first time at bat. He had a season's batting average, by the way, of 379. That was with the Boston Braves. And he's a good hitter, despite the strikeout. Feller delivers. Swing and a miss. Potter almost went down that time. He took about as hard a cut as he normally does. Went down on one knee. The count, one strike. Stanky on first base, two men out in the Boston Braves' fourth inning. And for the first time, the Braves have gone into high gear, and they have a 4-1 lead. The stretch by Feller, the pitch. Curveball high, and the count is 1-1. One ball, one strike. The outfield is set to the left. Here it comes. There's a ground ball. It goes to first base and into right field for a base hit. That went by Joe Gordon. Robinson ran over to first base in anticipation of the fact that Gordon would do the covering, but it was in the hole, and Gordon couldn't field it. So Potter has a hit. One hit and two trips in the series. There are runners on first and second, two men out. And Mr. Potter is living up to his press notices as a hitter. Stanky on second base, Potter on first base, and the right fielder of the Boston Braves, Tommy Holmes, is up. He singled and scored a run ahead of Elliott, who homered in the first inning and grounded to first in the second. Here it comes. There's a ground foul. Strike one, and it was fielded down the first baseline by first base coach Mel Harder, or by first base coach Johnny Cooney. Johnny threw the ball out. Apparently it was scuffed up a little. A new one is in play. It's being rubbed up by pitcher Bob Feller. The outfield is just about straight away. Holmes is capable of hitting alike to left, center, and right. He's had two hits. One was to right field, and the first one that won the first game was down the third baseline, you'll recall. Feller pitches. Low. 1-1. One ball, one strike. Boudreaux is standing over about 15 feet to the left of second base. And you'll recall they've tried two pickoffs. They've succeeded in one. Feller missed another. 1-1. The pitch. Low, a fastball. And the count is 2-1. The Braves have runners on first and second. Satchel Paige continues to warm up. Boudreaux did not give him the signal. He had been warming up, you'll recall, an inning previous. 2-1. Feller goes into that crouch. Now he takes his stretch, pitches, and there's a drive to left field, and Mitchell grabs it. Nice catch. That ball was well hit. He came in on the dead run, took it, and there are no Braves runs in the fourth inning. One hit, no errors, one walk, two runners left. And at the end of 3.5 innings of play, the score is Boston 4, Cleveland 1. The loyalty of fans for the hometown team, as shown here in Cleveland, is the making of baseball. Well, Gillette has a host of staunch rooters, too. Like some of you men who still use the first Gillette razor you bought years ago. I know, that razor seems like an old friend. But we're living in a streamlined age. So why not get an ultra-modern razor, the Gillette Super Speed, that permits instant blade changing? The improved Gillette Super Speed razor has a notched positioning bar, specially designed for use with the Gillette Blue Blade Dispenser. Hook on a blade and presto, it drops in place. Yes, twist, the razor opens, zip, it's loaded, then twist again, and man, what shaves you get. Ask for the improved Gillette Super Speed razor set with 10-blade Gillette Dispenser, $1.50 value for only a dollar. The Braves have 4 runs and 5 hits. And they are within 3 hits of the top single game total. The two teams, when Lemon defeated Boston 4-1, got 8 hits each. Joe Gordon, the great Cleveland second baseman, comes up. He got a base on balls his last time. He has been one of two Cleveland base runners left stranded in this game. And Nels Potter, Nelly, his mates call him, gets ready to throw the first one. Here it comes. Strike called. Curveball. One strike to count. Here's the windup. There's a drive down the left field line. It's in there. At least the base hit. Rickard throws it into second base to hold Gordon to a single. A line drive for Gordon's third hit of the series. And Kellner comes up. Kellner has one hit in 15 trips. Kellner fouled out to catcher Bill Salkeld, his last time at bat. Here it is. Strike called. Kellner started to swing, then decided to change his mind about it. Satchel Paige has finished his warm-up, and Sam Zoldak, a left-hander, has just been given the sign from the Cleveland dugout. The pitch, low. That was a sharp breaking curveball, and the count is 1-1. Potter's stock in trade is a screwball, which he throws with a motion exactly the reverse of that of the regular right-handed curveball. One ball, one strike. Low, ball two, 2-1. Mel Allen has been checking the records, and that single into left field was Joe Gordon's 24th, his 24th World Series hit, which is a great record. There's a throw to first base, but Gordon was right on the bag, and he turned and he did a little bit of barbering with Bill Summers. This is Gordon's 6th World Series. The pitch, outside. 3-1. Out in left field, Red Barrett is warming up, along with Warren Spahn for the Boston Braves, the second time they've been in operation. In the first inning, which was Potter's roughest so far, after Mitchell's home run, Boudreaux's single, Gordon's walk, they warmed up, but he retired the side. The Braves lead, 4-1. Here it comes. Ball four. That's the second base on balls given up by Potter. And it is the 9th for Cleveland in the series. So the tying run comes up to bat. The tying run at the plate in the person of Walter Judnick. Bob Elliott comes over to the mound. Not all the way over. He stopped and gave a word of reassurance and encouragement to the pitcher. Al Dark came in a bit. And in the meantime, both Spahn and Barrett are bearing down. And Sam Zoldak continues to warm up for the Cleveland Indians. Mr. Boudreaux is obviously thinking of a pinch hitter, even at this stage of the game, if the circumstances warrant. Here's the pitch to Judnick. Swing and a miss. Screwball. One strike to count. Judnick grounded to first base. And if you believe in such a thing as the law of percentage, Judnick has no hits in 11 trips in this series. Here's the pitch. Low, 1-1. Potter is pitching with all the poise and calmness that bespeaks his experience. He so far has allowed 3 hits, singles by Boudreaux and Gordon, and Mitchell's home run. He throws it, and he moves Judnick out of there with a fastball inside for a 2-1 count. This is the second time in the game that Potter has lost his control, at least temporarily. The outfield is set to the right, and this huge crowd of about 83,000 is just waiting for some reason to break loose. Cleveland trails 1-4. Potter stretches, pitches, and there goes a broken bat, fly ball to left field. It's a base hit that goes out over second. A run is coming in. The throw goes to second. It's 4-2. On first and third, a broken bat single that went just to the left of second base. Al Dark raced out frantically, tried to make the catch, and for a split fraction of an instant it looked as though he might get there, but the ball was over his head. The bat broke, and Cleveland trails now 2-4, and the Indians have a roaring rally going with Eddie Robinson up. There is no one out. There goes a fly ball, a little looping drive taken by Dark. No double play possible, both runners held. That was almost exactly the same kind of a drive but Dark went out on the edge of the grass in short left field, made a frantic dive, and got it. Runners are still on first and third. It looks very much from here as though the Indians are not swinging as hard in this inning as they have been heretofore. Both Gordon and Judnick, as well as Robinson, appear to be trying simply to meet the ball. Jim Hegan, the catcher, is the batter. He grounded to third his last time. Runners on first and third. One out. Potter pitches. There goes a long drive to left field. It's a home run. Potter. Hegan hit a home run at the 330-foot mark into the left field stands, and Cleveland leads 5-4. That's all this crowd was waiting for. And the promised fireworks have arrived, and there is Lou Boudreau signaling to the bullpen, all off, all off, and Zoldak sits down. That gives Feller the opportunity to stay in the ballgame and shoot for his first World Series victory. Had Hegan failed to deliver, short of a double play, Feller would have been lifted. The new pitcher, lefty Warren Spahn, and he's coming in to pitch to Bob Feller. Cleveland out in front. This game, after only two previous home runs, has already produced four of them. Two by Elliott, who has driven in all four Boston runs. One by Mitchell with the bases empty. One by Jim Hegan with two men on. And this four-run rally has put the Indians out in front, 5-4. Potter went 3 1/3 innings, allowed 5 runs, 5 hits, walked 2, struck out none. He got by the Indians handsomely. As a matter of fact, in pitching to the first 12 men, he yielded only two hits, Mitchell's home run and Boudreau's single. Now as Warren Spahn warms up with Cleveland leading 5-4 in the last half of the fourth inning, we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Your dial is set at 710, the spot for sports all year round. Your World Series station, WOR, New York.
One man out. Bob Feller will be the batter. Feller grounded to shortstop his last time at bat. And the new pitcher, lefty Warren Spahn. Spahn has made one previous start in the series, you'll recall. And he was beaten by Bob Lemon. He lasted only 4 1/3 innings. And he yielded 3 Cleveland runs. Feller the batter. Big left, big right-handed batter. Here's the pitch. And it's a strike call. Fastball. Spahn allowed 3 runs to Cleveland. 6 hits. All 3 runs were earned. Gave 2 walks. Struck out 1. Outside, and the count is 1-1. So Cleveland is out in front again in the run-scoring game of the series. Here's the windup. And that one is inside. The count is 2 balls and 1 strike. Prior to today, only 11 runs had been scored in the series. And in this game so far, we have seen 9, all of them earned. Cleveland leading 5-4. Spahn delivers. Low. 3-1. Red Barrett is still warming up for the Braves. The fireworks were held in reserve for this biggest crowd. Here's the pitch. And it's 3-2. Feller stepped way up forward in the right-hand batter's box and let that one go by. Three balls, two strikes the count. Here's the payoff pitch coming in. There's a ground ball back to the mound. Spahn takes it. There's the throw to first baseman Torgerson for the out. Feller goes out on a 3-2 pitch. And Dale Mitchell, left-handed hitting left fielder, comes up. He has three hits in 18 trips. Larry Doby is the on-deck batter. The Indians in this inning cashed in a single by Gordon, a walk to Keltner, a single by Judnick, and Hegan's home run for four runs. Spahn delivers, and he brushes the batter back with ball one. Fastball thrown inside. Four home runs in this ball game have accounted for every run but one. Here's the pitch. Fastball inside, and the count is 2-0. Spahn's trouble this year, the weakness that reduced his effectiveness below last year's, has been wildness. He admits that he hasn't been able to find the plate as before. Here it comes. Ball three, low, 3-0. The outfield is set to the left. Despite the fact that Mitchell is a left-handed batter, the infield deep at first and second. Here's the pitch. Ball four. That was a fastball low, and that's the third Cleveland walk of the game and the 10th Cleveland walk of the series, and it brings up Larry Doby, another left-hander. Doby is the eighth man to bat in this inning. I believe this is the biggest inning of the series so far from point of view of number of batters. Cleveland had seven men up once before. There's a throw to first base, but there's no pickoff. This is the biggest inning in runs scored, and it's the first inning in which an eighth man has been in the batter's box. Outside. One ball, no strikes. The Braves had six men up today in their three-run first inning when Elliott hit his first of two home runs. Spahn takes a stretch. Here's the pitch. Strike call. That was a slow curveball that caught the outside corner. Bill McKechnie is coaching at third base. Incidentally, Bill's son, who is a radio broadcaster in Pennsylvania, is here today. He was chatting with his dad just before the contest got underway. The outfield is set to the right. Mitchell on first base, taking a short lead. Spahn stretches, throws to first. The tag was late. Mitchell is being very cautious because the word about Spahn's pickoff ability is well known. Here it comes. Foul tip. One ball, strike two. Doby was swinging hard on a sharp breaking curveball that broke low. The outfield is just a little to the right of straightaway. It was Doby who hit the series' first home run yesterday. And that, incidentally, was one of the longest blows of all of them. He steps out, getting something out of his eye. Red Barber is our next-door neighbor down the line. Red Barrett is still warming up. The pitch, swing and a miss. Strike three. That was a fastball that came right down the alley. And that is the first Cleveland strikeout of the game and the 14th of the series. Four big Cleveland runs. Three hits. No errors. One base on balls. Two bases on balls. One off Potter. One off Spahn. And one runner left. The totals at the end of four innings. Cleveland, five runs, five hits, one error, three left. The Braves, four runs, five hits, no errors, and three left. Every Friday night is fight night on the air. If you have rosin in your veins, and what man hasn't, tune in Gillette's Cavalcade of Sports. Enjoy the major boxing event of the week, blow by blow. Consult your daily newspaper for time and station. Al Dark, Earl Torgerson, and Bob Elliott will be the batters. And I sort of suspect, Mel, that by the time Mr. Elliott comes up, the men in typewriter row will be scrambling through those record books, don't you believe?
Well, I think perhaps they will be, Jim, although, as you know, as most baseball fans know, Babe Ruth is the only guy that ever hit three in a World Series, and everybody will be wondering whether Mr. Elliott can do the same.
In the meantime, Al Dark will be the leadoff batter for the Braves in the fifth inning. He beat out a slow roller to third base and scored the second Boston run in the first. He has three hits in 18 trips. He's a right-handed batter standing straight away. Bob Feller, who was given a reprieve, gets ready to pitch and throws one inside for ball one. And I mean that reprieve literally because Feller was slated to leave the ball game until Jim Hegan put Cleveland out in front 5-4 with his home run. The outfield straight away. Feller winds up, pitches. Fastball outside. 2-0. Third baseman Ken Keltner is playing just about 5 feet back of third base. Billy Southworth and Johnny Cooney are doing the coaching. Jim Hegan crouches low. He's given his battery mate, Bob Feller, a life, and Feller's trying to cash it in. Here it comes. There goes the drive to center field. Not too well hit. Dobie's there, and he takes it. One man out. Dark goes out on a fly ball to center fielder Larry Dobie to open the fifth inning, and Earl Torgerson comes up. Torgerson has 4 hits in 11 trips. He's batting .364 in the series. The outfield moves around to the right for him. He has plenty of power. The first ball he hit was a wicked line drive, and Judnick caught it well out in right field. Feller takes a big windup, delivers. Curveball inside, ball one. Torgerson stepped away. Ken Keltner, with left-handed Earl Torgerson up, is playing in on the edge of the grass. Just a step or two. One ball, no strikes. Cleveland, 5. Boston, 4. High, ball 2. 2-0. One man out. The huge scoreboard directly out in center field. And this is a magnificent World Series setting. Doubtless the largest World Series crowd in history. Feller takes a full windup. He delivers a fast call strike. 2-1. Over to our left and to our right, batteries of newsreel cameras, preserving on film the historic story of the 1948 World Series. Torgerson grips his bat right down at the handle end. He sets himself for the pitch. Here it comes. And there goes a fly ball to left field. Well tagged, but Mitchell is back. He's waiting. And he takes it. That ball at Braves Field would have been a home run. A long fly ball to left taken at the 345-foot mark. And here is Elliott up. Even the Cleveland fans, sporting fans, recognize greatness, and they realize that Elliott has hit 2 consecutive home runs to drive in all 4 of the Boston runs. He also is the top run producer of the series with 5 RBI. And there's an unasked question on every lip. Here's the pitch. There's a high foul ball coming back up here. And the count is 1 strike. For an instant, a fleeting instant, that looked like our first souvenir. 1 strike to count. 2 men out in the fifth inning. Feller has retired 3 men in a row on outfield flies. Holmes flied to left to end the fourth inning. And Dark and Torgerson have flied successively to center and left in this frame. Elliott has a closed stance. Feller is pitching very carefully to him. Here comes the pitch. Strike called. Curveball. Bob turns around, asks a question of George Barr, the umpire, and then nods his head in agreement. He might have said that was a pretty good pitch, wasn't it? 2 strikes the count. Cleveland leading the Braves, 5-4 in the first half of the fifth inning. Here comes the 2-strike pitch. He throws it. Inside. Feller shooting for a strikeout, missed the inside corner. Elliott pulled away from it. And then he circled and is going back into the box, rubbing some dirt into his hands.